I got a sense as I was walking into the church today that the coming storm cloud, probably many of you aren't aware of. So I need to fill you in on what's happened yesterday and what's going to be breaking the news today and in the coming week. So yesterday, a Catholic periodical called the National Catholic Register released a 10-page letter written by an archbishop who worked as the nuncio. And the position of the nuncio is the Pope's representative to a particular country. So he was the Pope's representative to the United States. And what he indicated in that 10-page letter was that, I don't know if you've been following the McCarrick scandal, but Cardinal McCarrick had been accused of inappropriate homosexual relations with seminarians and with priests and creating a culture of sexual impropriety. And then finally, he was brought to justice because of the abuse of a minor. Church officials had claimed that they had no knowledge of this, but in this 10-page letter, the nuncio has indicated that Pope Francis and Pope Benedict knew about McCarrick, and that particularly Pope Francis chose to reinstate him and to cover up the allegations. Also indicated in this was Cardinal Wuerl. So what we're going to be hearing about in the coming weeks, we don't know for certain. It literally just broke yesterday. I thought that it would be appropriate if you heard it from anybody that you would hear it from me first, before you hear it from the news outlets in the coming weeks. But the reality is, this scandal has been going on now for 3 weeks and will most likely continue for the near future. So what we have to ask ourselves in this moment, when we come before our Lord in the Eucharist, I'm not going to try to pretend like I have all the answers. I know just as much as you do from sources or from the things that you can find on the internet. But what I do believe we can do, we can all do together, is to turn to prayer, to turn to Scripture, and to turn to our relationship with the Lord. Now is the time when each one of us is going to be tested in our heart. Do we truly believe? I think the first thing we can take away from today's gospel, there was a small little detail you might have glossed over, which was, as the Bread of Life discourse is unfolding, there's a mention of Judas. So there's an interesting dynamic that if you look at the early church, the 12 apostles, for some reason, we don't know exactly why, but Jesus chose one of his apostles to be corrupt. And if we look at the scriptures, it's clear that he knew that Judas was going to betray him, that he intentionally chose one of his first 12 bishops was corrupt. I think one of the dangers can be, especially when we're young, when I was a high schooler or a college student, I believed in what I would call utopianism, that we could create a perfect society, that we could create, actually I fell away from the church, and I believed that we could form a perfect society. I was all about that reform and that whole revolutionary ideal that I worked towards as an activist. But what I saw even in those activist circles is there's always an element of human corruption. And in fact, there's always an element of corruption even in the individual human heart. We're all in a process of being reformed in the image of Christ. That ongoing conversion is necessary. So while we need to grieve this situation, we need to work towards reform, we need to have our hearts open and what we can do, both in the church, but also in our government or in the organizations that we're a part of. But we must not allow the pursuit of the perfection, according to our standards, to rob us of our peace. Perhaps in every organization, that 1-to-12 ratio will stand firm, that there's always at least one or two people in any given organization that are corrupt, that are incompetent, or they're not able to rise to the situation. So perhaps there's a sense that we have to recognize that there will always be corruption and in the church and in the world. But in the midst of that, resting with the Lord and always seeking to grow in ourselves and in our community. Also, we hear our Lord, interesting thing that many people left our Lord at the time of the Bread of Life discourse. And in this coming weeks, I can imagine all of us are going to have the temptation to want to leave the Catholic Church. I'll be honest with you, priests and conversations have been discussing, you know, the fear of retribution if you speak out. I mean, it's kind of slightly irrational. I think we'd all recognize that. But we've all had to come to grips with the possibility of leaving the church. We're going to be tempted to do that. But what I would say is we see in today's scriptures, when I'm praying with this today's scriptures, today's gospel, St. Peter's words in many ways are my words. Whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. I've been convinced that yes, maybe we could turn to a different church or a different organization. Or we could think that the cares of this world, the pleasures of this world, whatever it might be, whatever we think is going to allow us to escape the fact that we live in a fallen world, the reality is the one true church I've come to believe is Jesus Christ. Better to suffer with the church and in the church and to be given the grace of the sacraments than to suffer without. I think another thing we need to recognize, we all need to double down on spiritual discipline. If you aren't praying the rosary, now's a good time to start praying the rosary. Now's a good time to commit yourself to daily, not daily, but regular holy hours. We're going to be doing a holy hour in reparation for sin. Now is the time to churn ever deeper to prayer, to churn to the Lord ever more. Because I'll be honest with you, each one of us is going to go through our own struggles in the midst of this. It's not going to be so simple that I'm going to have all the answers for you in a homily on Sunday. Each one of us is going to have to encounter Jesus Christ in that personal and intimate way and seek the answers of our hearts. Many of us are going to have old wounds open. I've had many conversations this past week with people who knew priests that were abusers and the pain that they've experienced. And I would love to tell you that I could just tell you one word and it'll go away, or that instantaneously people can be healed. But healing is an ongoing process. So as we undergo and struggle with things, as we struggle with doubts, turning to the Lord, praying that rosary, coming to your holy hour, going to confession, doubling down on our spiritual practices. And the good news, I believe, in all of this is I see many of our young people, and I think many of them are probably going to fall away in the coming years. There's no doubt about that. But what I have come to believe is that the young people that will stay, hopefully, by the grace of God, will be formed to be a generation of saints. And maybe we're going to suffer a lot, we're going to lose a lot of people. But what will come out of this is a pure, holier church, a church that's been humbled. Because when we allow ourselves to be humbled, and when the church is humbled, then what happens is we make room for God's grace. So let us consider that today. Let us enter into these divine mysteries. Let us continue to pray, and with heavy hearts, offer everything we are to the Lord with complete abandonment. Amen.